Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
This is my mother. I'm interviewing my mother, Jenny Crawford. The date is Tuesday, June 18th, 2024. And can you please tell me your full name?
Juanita Rios Crawford.
And who were your parents?
My parents were Jesus Perez Rios and Margarita Frausto.
And where were you born?
In Kansas City, Kansas, at the KU Med Center.
I don't think I knew that. Tell me about your siblings.
Oh, goodness. I had a mob of siblings. There were ten in the family. Two I never knew. One was a stillborn child, little girl named Blasa, and the other was Juliancito. He died at like about the age of two of pneumonia. I had five brothers, Santos, Pedro, Andreas, Pascual, Manuel, two sisters, Lupe, or Guadalupe, we called her Lupe, and Mary, my older sister, and myself.
And who were your grandparents?
Oh, goodness. Valentin. Let's see. Ursula Martinez and Valentin Frausto.
What was your childhood like?
Oh, it was sad, but it was fun. I grew up in a very, very poor family. My dad worked at the ice plant, and we lived in a house provided by the plant. And in fact, all our little friends were in the same boat. And we went to a school called Clara Barton, and we had to walk 2 miles uphill both ways. No, we had to walk across the railroads, up a steep stairway onto the bridge. And on the way there, we would meet these kids, Caucasian kids that were crossing the bridge to get to their school, Emerson School, which was on Strong Avenue. This was a time of segregation, even for Mexican children. My name was Juanita, but at school, the teachers changed it to Jenny. My brother, Pascual, became Donald. Manuel became Manuel. And that's what we were called. And it was all Mexican children. And that was my growing up years.
And what year would that have been?
Oh, goodness.
What year were you born?
41. This would have been like 46, 47. And there was a little market, little Mexican market that we could walk to. And if we had a nickel or a dime, we could take our lunch there and sit on the porch and share a pop and eat our lunch. And we had a wonderful teacher named Mrs. Gerber. And my kindergarten teacher's name was Mrs. Gentry. And the school nurse was a lady named Miss Castor. And she followed our growing up years, Clarita, high school, I think. Anyway, we went to Clara Barton School, Manuel, Loopy, me, Donald. The rest of my siblings, being older, were already onto the Argentine junior and senior high school, because it was just a high school then. And then the flood came in. We went through a flood in 1951, and we got out just barely in time before the river overflowed. And the police, it had rained and rained for several days, and that day at the banks, the river went over its banks, the police were coming through all day long telling people to move to higher ground, move. Mom did not want to leave. My oldest brother, Sam, lived with us with his wife, Virginia, and their two children, Junior and Gloria. They were tiny babies. But he finally got us out and took us out of Argentine through the hills. And we could see down below us the line of cars moving out, getting out of the Argentine area. And so we went to some people's houses in Kansas City, Missouri, very close to where the RKO Theater was, like at 12th and Main. We could walk to that theater. But anyway, we got out with just what we were wearing. A few things Mom was able to get in her arms and put in the car. We got to these people's house, and since their children were all grown, Mom didn't want to scare them. And Dad said, leave everything in the car. Leave everything in the car. We'll get it out in the morning. Well, morning came. He went out to the car to bring in what we'd got now, just carried out quickly. And he found that our car had been broken into. Everything was gone. We had absolutely nothing but each other and the clothes on our back. Oh, it was a really, really, really hard time. What else you want to know?
What were your parents like?
Oh, of course, they were devastated. My dad's place where he worked, of course, it was underwater. Our house was moved completely off its foundation. We had a little duck named Stinky, and we put it in a little shed. And I'm hoping that the house crashed into it and broke it up enough that he got away. But otherwise, he probably died in that shed. We had a dog named Rex, one of our many Rexes. And we couldn't take him with us. And the neighbors up the street, our friends, the Holmes, they had gone up the hill, 37th Street, close to the school, where it was higher ground. And they had borrowed a small boat and went down into the neighborhoods where we were. They went down to our house, and they found our dog Rex on the roof. They put Rex in the boat and took him back out with them to the hill. Rex kept going back home. Yeah. He kept jumping back in the water, and finally they just left him there. And we never saw Rex again. Yeah. But it was very, very hard, very, very hard time. Neighbors who had been back to look at the devastation reported that just the peak of our roof was showing.
Wow.
Everything was underwater. And the whole west bottoms were underwater. At the time, those were the stockyards in Kansas City. And all those animals, cows, pigs, they all perished. And people were trying to rescue some of these animals to keep, but we were the p- people announced on the radio, do not eat that, those animals, do not slaughter them and eat them for food because they've been in these infested waters and they would not be safe. Anyway, we went to live in a basement. My brother Sam had found this basement. This family was willing to open their basement to us. It was like a dungeon. It had its own entrance through a little alleyway between houses. And we lived there for about a year. We all went to school, to Schweitzer School on Summit Road. And we lived there for about a year. The Red Cross helped us with food and clothing. And my poor mom, I don't know how she made it through this time. My dad would get out but my mom was, she was pretty much stuck. And my sister Mary, at the time, would have been like 18 maybe. And my brothers, Pete and Andy, were in Korea at the time. And like I said, my brother Sam already was married. His wife, Virginia, and their two babies went to live with her mother. And it was just a very, very, very hard, devastating, heartbreaking time. Mm-hmm. But we made it.
It sounds like your parents were very strong people.
They were extremely strong people. Extremely strong people. I don't know that people today could go through that and come out as well as we all did.
I agree. So your schooling experience, where did you graduate from high school?
Argentina High School.
And then you went on to nurses training.
Yes. I always knew I wanted to be a nurse from early on. I knew I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be just like Miss Kester. Although I think back now, she was a very big woman. Big, tall woman. She wasn't very pretty. A very plain woman, but I just admired her so much. And yes, she helped me apply, fill out an application, and I was a member of the Future Nurses of America Club in Argentine High School, and was a member of that for the last, through like my sophomore, junior, and senior years of high school. What else?
And so over the years, you worked at what hospitals?
Oh, goodness. My first, I graduated from St. Mary's Hospital. I went to work at Menorah Hospital. It was, at that time, probably one of the highest paid hospitals there, starting at like $4.70-some an hour. An hour, guys. It was slavery. But I worked there for a year. Then I went to, then I married Gary Crawford, my knight in shining armor, in September of 1965. And we had a little house in Overland Park. And our first, most perfect baby, Andrea, was born in 1966.
That's me.
And so we lived there for about 5 years, and then your father went into his unit, was called up. It was a time of rioting on Minnesota Avenue in Kansas City, Missouri, between black people, your father tells me he went because of Vietnam, but I think he was sent to Fort Carson, the whole unit was, to, for riot control practice and maneuvers and whatever. But once there, the riots did settle down, and so he worked on helicopters, and when after our second child, Linda, the Linda, was born in August. We moved to Colorado Springs to be with Gary when she was like 6 weeks old. We lived in a trailer for a couple of months, this tiny, tiny little trailer. And that was a very hard time, too. I mean, my whole life has been hard. I mean, it's just been one struggle after another. But, you know, when you're young, you're in love, you're starting your family, and the world still looks pink and rosy most of the time. But we finally got on base housing, and we were there for about a year. And then we got back to Overland Park, our little house we had, which had been renting. We rented it out during our stay in Fort Carson. We got back, and the family who had rented it had just demolished it. And it was pretty much starting over. And I went back to work at St. Mary's. And shortly thereafter, after 5 years, we moved to Raytown, where Andrea started kindergarten at Robinson Elementary School on Westridge in Raytown. And what else?
Then we moved to Kearney in 77.
Then we moved to Kearney in 1976.
We need to put Kayla in there. Kayla was born.
Yes, Kayla was born in Raytown in 1974. And through these pregnancies, I suffered through trigeminal neuralgia, awful pain on my face. And I was on heavy duty medication. It just was just such a rough time in our life. I mean, my whole life was rough. I was taking so much medication. I remember I just was talking to your father on the phone one day. He was at work. And I just lay down on the carpet in the hall there. It was, I was just kind of zombie-like, but still, you know, we had the family to look after, and we managed. Somehow we managed.
Yeah, I remember the Kelly family helped out quite a bit.
Yes, bless her heart. Dick and Betty Kelly, they had three girls and a boy. And to this day, she's still my friend.
Good.
And Dick was, we just attended his funeral memorial. He was best man at our wedding. Let's see, while we were in Kearney, well, while we were in Raytown, though, Gary's father passed away. Like the night of Thanksgiving Day, or maybe the next night, his one aunt who lived in Monette was staying with us. And Gary came home from the hospital visiting his dad. And he told us that his dad had passed away. And his aunt, who was staying with his mom, and we were there at the Columbus house, she passed away like half hour later. So they both passed away that night. It was very, very sad time, very hard. While we were when we went to Kearney, my dad passed away like in November, and then in April the following year, just a few months later, my brother Pete passed away. So our life has been pretty, pretty heavy duty, laden with sickness and illness and problems, but here we are.
And then, let's see, at what point, let's see, how old were you when you were diagnosed with lymphoma?
Oh, goodness. I was already in my, it would have been in 1996 when I was diagnosed with lymphoma.
Because you had recently retired.
Yes, I was getting ready to retire. And I had gone to our family doctor, because I think my blood pressure was running low. And I had these lumps in the back of my ears. And I told him that I would like to have a CAT scan, and he thought it'd be a wild goose chase, but he ordered one anyway, and the results came back lymphoma. And then he took all the credit, idiot. He says, well, aren't you glad we ordered that? I ordered that CAT scan. And I'm like, excuse me, who wanted the CAT scan? Anyway, so, oh goodness.
We fought it bravely. It went into remission.
And then more lately in,
19, I think. I retired in 19, and
retired in 1996, after 20 years, working 20 years at Liberty Hospital. And, yeah.
I think it was August of 2019 that it came out of remission.
And so, So then I got hit with acute lymphocytic leukemia and went through a clinical trial at the KU Med Center, which took about 3 years. But I am cancer-free as we speak. And enjoying the life.
Yes, with her sweet kitty Lola that's on her lap.
Yes, and my knight in shining armor, his armor is no longer shining. It's kind of tarnished, but he's still my knight. And our girls are grown, married, happily married. Well, except for Kayla.
She's getting there. Do you feel like you've done well in your life?
Endured.
Endured, that's a good word. Mm-hmm. And as far as hobbies, you love to sew and quilt.
And reading, sewing,
yes.
Quilting, and friends, support system. The whole family's friends have been very supportive.
What advice would you give to a 25-year-old?
Just be strong. Be as brave as you can. Meet things head on. And it's not going to last forever. You just have to continue to be strong and know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
And how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as a stubbornly strong person.
We talked about writing your obituary, and you said that all we need to write is, she tried.
Yes. Things have not always gone my way, and it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle, but like I say, family, friends, you just have to meet it head on. And things didn't turn out quite the way I wanted them to. Well, I tried. Mm-hmm. And that's how I want to be remembered.
Okay.
I really, really tried.
She did. And she's living in Liberty, Missouri with Dad.
And that's why I like to sing when I was a young warthog.
She has a flair for the dramatics and a sense of humor. She is 80.
Oh, yes, sense of humor. You got to have a sense of humor. You got to laugh or you might cry. Laughing is much, much better.
She is 83 years old.
I'm 83 years old and counting.
And you were born. And
March 11th, 1941, when dinosaurs roamed the earth. And I have a pacemaker, and it's good for another 10 years, and that should really put me at the jumping off place. So I'll be ready. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for the interview.